You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
For now.
It's the same joke you did last week.
Damn it!
Today we're going to be talking about the fourth serial of the 10th season of Doctor Who, Planet of the Daleks.
Are there Daleks in this one?
Yep, there was Daleks in the last one too. It's a twofer.
I was making a reference and you didn't play along and now it just looked dumb and I'm not about it.
I didn't realize you were making a reference. What was the reference?
There's Cybermen in this.
Well, there are Daleks in this.
Okay.
The serial consists of 6 episodes that aired from April 7th, 1973 to May 12th, 1973.
True facts!
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com for getting us this episode or serial or what have you.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You are shiny. If you'd like us to thank you on the show, you can jump over to WatchYourRassilon.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Amazon wish list where you can purchase this cereal for us as well, and we'll say hey, thanks, like we just did to Matt. I also want to say a special thanks to Elliot Cooper. He is our newest Patreon patron,
as opposed to our other kinds of patron.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right.
Our patron saints. We have some saints patron to us.
He's our newest patron saint.
You can follow him on Tumblr at docwithtardisfez.tumblr.com. If you would like to be a patron, you can go to watchyourassilon.com/support, and there's a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. So, do that. And thanks again to Matt and Elliot. You guys are awesome.
Yay! Applause.
So, how you going? How are you going?
Barely. That's how I'm going.
I'm with you.
It's been rough. It's been rough, buddy. It's been rough.
Sure has. Is it work? He asked like he didn't know.
No, actually, mostly it's just been my husband.
Yeah, what a dick. I keep telling you, you should dump him.
How about you? How's it going?
Yeah. Samesies.
It's on account of we have the same work and home life. We already know.
By the time this goes out, I might have a new video up on YouTube. So check that out. It's called It's Coming. It's a less than a minute long horror sketch thing. Tony's in it. You can't really see her face.
It was the only condition on which I would agree.
So check that out.
It's in my contract.
You can see that at mintypineapple.com. Let's just do it. Let's talk about the cereal. Planet of the Daleks. What are the Daleks?
I should probably respond to some sort of joke, but it's too dumb and I won't.
All right, let's dive right in. Episode 1, which I have called The Invisible Menace, or as Terry Nation, the writer of the serial, titled it Destinus, because he did not know that the titles had been dropped.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he hasn't written since... I guess since 1.
Did they have to bring him back in order to have the Daleks? Is that the deal?
No, I don't think so, because they had the Daleks
earlier.
Oh,
you're right. I just thought he, like, owned them and was like, I want to write this one.
I don't know, but they brought him back for some reason.
This, by the way, does feel a lot like a First Doctor serial.
Including hitting some of the exact same story beats. Specifically of the Daleks. The First Dalek serial. A lot of things that happen to Ian happen to either the Doctor or other Falls. But the reason this episode is called Destinus, despite having absolutely zero to do with this, is the planet is called Spyridon, but it was originally called Destinus.
Oh.
Also, the serial was originally called Destination Daleks.
It was?
Yes.
Destination Daleks.
That sounds a little bit better. I mean, this is not the planet of the Daleks. This is a planet that the Daleks are on.
That's true.
It's not their planet. I guess, is it their planet? But I mean, it's not their home planet.
No, it's the planet they invaded. It's not their planet. That doesn't make it theirs.
So we begin this serial with something we haven't had in a very long time, which is a recap of the previous episode.
Yeah.
Because we had a cliffhanger last episode of the Doctor getting shot and then going into the TARDIS and like, I'm going to message the Time Lords with my mind. And that goes absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, I think the Time Lords are the ones who technically pilot the TARDIS. Yes.
But I was like, oh, are we going to have Time Lord shit? That'd be fun. No. But we do get to see more of the TARDIS. There's like these, like a dresser drawer situation going on. That
set piece was nice.
I feel like we saw something like that in the first Doctor.
Did we?
I mean, there was definitely like beds.
There was more to the TARDIS. I mean, not like a whole lot more, but like there would just occasionally be like dressers and stuff like to the left of the council room or something.
Well, I mean, in Edge of Destruction, like everybody was sleeping in the TARDIS. We got to see them, their beds and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if, like, Terry Nation is like, I'll just write this in. And they're like, oh, shit, dude, how long have you been gone? We don't have beds.
We don't have any of these sets or anything. But they are really cool because it's, like, a bunch of cubes on the wall. And, like, you pull out a drawer and there's the bed. And then, like, above that are a bunch, presumably a bunch of, like, cubby holes. Because at some point, somebody pulls something, like, opens them up and it's, like, a cabinet inside.
Storage space, including a bed.
Yeah, pretty neat looking bit of set.
Because Joe pulls it out to put the Doctor on it because he's not doing well because he's got a glancing wound to the head from the Master. And then she starts to take care of him and Tony is way too into that.
It's just nice to see someone being sick.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why?
I don't know.
You have weird fetishes.
I didn't say it was a fetish.
Well, I don't know what else you'd call it. A quirk?
I don't know, but you wouldn't call it a fetish.
I can call it whatever I want to. Well, it's a fetish.
I'd prefer that you not call it a fetish.
You have a fetish for sick people.
You make it sound creepy. I enjoy stories where, like, one person's sick and the other person's taking care of them because they're cute. That's all. You don't gotta make it so weird.
Does that do anything for you?
No, because you're whiny.
Fair. So the Doctor has a seizure, passes out, goes into a coma. And before he went into a coma, though, he told Joe to log everything. And she gets this futuristic tape recorder. It's just a cassette tape.
It's a cassette tape. This is, I think, the second time that they've had a cassette tape and they're like, it's a voice recorder. And it's like, no, you're just holding a cassette tape and talking into it.
And she's logging everything because she's the only character awake right now. So they had to give her some sort of excuse to narrate, basically. Mm. So that it wasn't just Joe talking to herself or whatever. So
or just silence.
Or just silence. Which I would be fine with silence. Just let's have a silent Doctor Who episode.
Did we have one?
I don't know. There's a lot of boring downtime in the first Doctor, Sarah. But I don't think that counts.
But I mean, we never had a silent episode of Doctor Who.
Not that I can think of. Hmm. We haven't had a musical episode either. Not even during John Barrowman's run.
Truly a loss.
But the TARDIS lands and the Doctor has iced over for some reason.
Yeah, he's really cold. I think it's like a fever, but in reverse or something. I don't know. I'm not sure what the logic behind that was, besides like reestablishing that the Doctor is an alien and his biology is weird.
Joe specifically mentions that she's seen this before, and when he got frozen and then he did himself up and was fine. And she seems to say something like, this is a restorative thing for the Doctor, even though he got blasted with some ice and then like there was that heat blast and he came out of it. It was him surviving it, but not, he didn't do it as
it wasn't like a healing process.
Right. But Joe's gonna go out and she looks at the scanner first and there's just something spewing oil on the camera.
Oh, it's gross!
There's these spitting plants.
They're the worst. Okay, wait a minute. Because the plants are the worst? This whole cereal's the worst.
For things,
it's gooey.
Ejaculating?
It's a gooey cereal. And if that sounds gross, good. Because it is.
Remember way back when we had the ejaculation of Mondas episode?
Yeah.
This is the sequel.
Yeah.
But worse.
I don't even, like, what's the color of, like, the goo that the plants spit out?
It's, like, greenish brown.
Yeah, like a sickly sort of yellowish color.
Yeah, like a pus.
Yeah, it's the worst. And it makes a terrible squishy sound, too, when it does it. Like, immediately, like, that's the first thing they come out of the TARDIS, and that's what this planet's about. And I was like, just go back. We don't need this.
So Jo goes around recording herself talking about this planet. Also, it gets rid of her coat at one point because it gets spit up on, which is protecting her from the spit up. Why did she take off her coat?
I don't know. And also, like, does she not have a washing machine? She's just like, oh man, this has a stain on it now. I thought it was going to come back and be like another one of those things of like, oh, hey, I know where we are now because here's my jacket.
No.
It didn't.
I don't love this. Got rid of it. So she's gone out to get help, but the doctor wakes up, like, right now. I don't know why she just didn't stick around a little bit. But Jo has found a ship.
A little bitty spaceship.
And she goes inside this ship, and there is a cobwebbed up dead
body pilot.
Yeah, he's in the pilot seat.
Guys, this dead body makes me really mad.
Why does it make you mad?
She's wandering around the ship. Nobody's there. There's this dead cobwebbed body. So you know it's been there for fucking ever. And like she touches it like, hey, somebody. I guess she doesn't see like the cobwebs. She's just like, hey, buddy, can you come help my friend? And like the body falls over and she screams. And then like somebody comes behind her and is like, hey, what are you doing on this ship? And there are like other crew members. There are other crew members on the ship. And they tell her like, oh, yeah, like, a lot of us died already. Like, the pilot died when we landed. And y'all just left him there?
Yeah, it's dangerous outside of it. They can't just dig a hole?
They can't dust him? They let the man gather cobwebs? That's so rude! You couldn't, like, throw a blanket over him or some shit? He's just a decaying corpse covered in cobwebs, and they all just left him there. They've presumably been in this ship, using this ship, and they just left him there.
Well, listen.
What?
Tell me truthfully.
Yeah?
If you were in the same situation, and you had a dead body there, and there was nothing, you could not take it out and bury it, you didn't have a blanket. I didn't see any blankets on that ship.
I mean, they didn't have blankets. It's a spaceship. You know how long it takes to travel? They had to sleep, okay? They could have at least taken it out of the pilot seat.
Okay, but would
and
you...
And laid it down.
Would you have dusted it?
I mean, I don't dust anything now.
Exactly.
But that's a person.
Also, there's probably somebody who's like, hey, if anybody stumbles across this, they'll be like, oh, that guy's dead and not touch him. Because he's covered in cobwebs, obviously.
It's disrespectful. If I was on a mission and somebody died, I would, like, you would put them somewhere. Like, off to the side. Okay? In, like, an extra closet you've got. And, like, you cover them up and you're like, we'll deal with that later. Is there no med bay on the ship? They can't leave them there?
It's not a ship. It's like a transport ship. Like, it takes you from the big ship down to Earth, to
okay,
the planet.
Okay, well, it's big enough on the inside that that dude could have been shuffled around somewhere and not just left to rot.
It's not that big of a ship. It's, like, bus-sized, maybe.
And take him to the, like, back of the bus or something.
Wow.
He's dead! You don't just leave the body to rot in the driver's seat, okay?
All right.
And they do go outside. It's not impossible to go outside. And even if you're not going to go outside, because like you don't want to bury the guy on like an alien planet. You want to take him back. Fine. Cover the man up.
They maybe didn't have anything to cover him up with because they probably didn't have blankets. Because like I said, this is a transport pod. It's not like
they could have
slept
done
on it.
Something. They could have done, they didn't even bother.
You weren't there. You don't know.
I know.
Maybe they did try.
No, they didn't even bother. By the way, how long have they been here? Because, like, it's not just, like, a stiff body. It's like a rotting corpse.
It's not rotting. He looks fine. He's just covered in cobwebs. There was no goo.
Well, he didn't look good.
No, he was dead. We've talked for, like, 6 minutes about this.
I'm really offended about it.
So.
They just really casually mention it, too. They're like, oh, yeah, he died. You might have met him. We haven't bothered to move him at all. We're lazy fucks.
Before they even show up, there is a scene of the doctor in the TARDIS, and the doors won't open for some reason. They just won't open for him.
They won't open, and he's running out of oxygen.
And so he pulls out the emergency oxygen, which is like three cans.
Three tiny canisters.
Two of which are already tapped
out. And it's
out.
Not like it's a mask and he puts it on. He just
turns it on into the ship.
Into the ship. Like, the yep, TARDIS. That'll be good. Maybe it's compressed air.
Maybe those tanks are bigger on the inside.
They probably are bigger on the inside.
But apparently not that full because the third one even goes out.
Yeah.
So he basically has no air.
Which has never been that big of a problem for him, to be honest.
Yeah, he walks around on like planets and shit. Like, I can hold my breath for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, those people that are on the ship, that come onto the ship that Joe's on, they are Taren and Vapor. Vapor, sorry.
Vapor with a B.
Taren and Vapor.
We weren't sure for a while.
Joe says she's from Earth. They're like, that shit's a legend and not real.
Ooh, but we figure out who they are.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty big hint in that they're all like gorgeous blonde models.
Yes, which is basically a description of the Thals.
They're the Thals, you guys. The Thals are back in town.
Thals are back in town.
So you got two of them right now, Taren and Vapor. Vapor's, if I'm not mistaken, is the brash idiot, and Taren is the leader. You know, that classic staple, that duo. The one guy who's like, I'm the leader and I know what I'm doing, and the other guy's like, you don't know what you're doing, I want to shoot things. That's what's happening here. But there's some bad guys coming for the ship. They're going to distract them and lead them away while Joe stays behind. And so they do that, and Joe hides out in the ship. But then the ship starts to shake. Something comes into the ship, and then stuff starts floating inside the ship. And then, like, just opens the closet and starts pulling everything out, causing quite a mess.
Yeah.
No blankets. Just saying. And he...
Poor planning if there's no blanket. There's a blanket in my car right now. If you died while in my car, I could cover you right now.
And the
I'm more prepared than this whole crew.
And the thing in the ship is clearly an invisible creature, which this is like our third or fourth invisible creature.
Is it?
Yeah, we had one on that in a Dalek serial, the very, very long one. There was those invisible things on that planet. I don't remember what they were called. I think they were on the planet that the Daleks had invaded. The one that had Sarah Kingdom and all that.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
But this one has the added distinction of sounding like a pervert, because it's just like...
Oh, that's right. It breathes so heavy, just to let you know that it's there, but it's creepy.
It turns out that they're not... The thing in there is not bad, though. Spoilers.
Yeah, he's a nice enough guy.
He's a nice enough pervert. Then the doctor passes out inside the TARDIS. Oh, I know where the Thals are going to go save the doctor. So they get to the doctor, to the TARDIS, and it's covered in that spit goo that's like hardened on the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
And it's caked to the TARDIS, and they break it off of the door, and they open it, and they save the doctor. And this is actually when we learn they are Thals. And apparently, not only is Earth a legend, but the Doctor is a legend, too.
These are the Thals way, way, way in the future from when we last saw them.
Not the Daleks. I don't understand the Dalek timeline, to be honest.
Did I not say Thals?
No, you said Thals. I'm just saying it's the last time we saw the Thal. You said, yeah, it's fine. You were right.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't understand where the Dalek timeline fits into everything. I don't know. It seems like sometimes it's a sequel, but sometimes it's not. Like, it might come before...
Before...
The first Dalek serial.
This one?
I don't know. No, not this one. This one's definitely... This one is, like, a direct sequel to the Daleks.
Yes.
But, like, where's the Thals and all these other ones? Like, you know, we went back to Skaarov with the second Doctor. Where were the Thals there?
Maybe they left.
That's pretty smart. Does it take place after this serial? We don't know.
We don't know.
Somebody out there knows. Somebody will leave a comment on this on YouTube and tell me how wrong I am about everything. Guarantee you. This is like the third time that the third Doctor specifically has been like referenced as a legend. It definitely happened in the last serial too. He says he was there with Barbara, Ian, and Susan.
He does! And I got so excited I cheered because I was like... I know them! I love them! My friends! Remember my friends? I remember my friends. I love them. You remember my friends?
I remember them.
I remember my friends.
They were great. There was, the Doctor's granddaughters, Barbara and Susan, and then the slapsticky Dick Van Dyke Ian, right?
No, not them.
No? And the doctor, there was Susan who, Barbara who, and Ian Chesterton. But they give the doctor a cure for the spitting stuff, the fungus, which in a way is similar to getting a cure for the radiation.
A little bit.
They're like, this fungus will take over your entire body and it'll be bad. So here's a cure. And Tony and I are both like, oh shit, that's not good, because the plant spit on Joe's hand earlier.
Yeah.
We cut back to Joe and like the fungus is growing on her hand. That's not good. So the doctor offers to help the Thals do whatever they're doing. Thals are not sure. They're a bit hesitant. But they bump into an invisible thing and they spray paint it.
I like the spray paint because it's not just like, oh, here, have the spray paint. Spray paint helps you see invisible things.
No, it's like some scientific.
Yeah, he's like, here, take this device. Press the, what does he call it?
Depressor button or something?
Yeah, he's like, press the gadget up at the top and it will dispense the color thing. And like, yeah, they try to make it sci-fi-y, but it's just a can of spray paint.
It's just a cassette tape. Yeah. It's just a can of spray paint.
But they're spraying it.
It's a Dalek.
That's a Dalek.
Which this also goes nowhere.
You're right. The Daleks are like working on getting invisibility, and that sounds terrifying, but it's not important. Yeah. I mean, it's like why they're there. But like at no point is it like, oh no, invisible Daleks.
We gotta run away from the invisible Daleks
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Because the invisible Daleks is like legit pretty terrifying. Probably they still just scream exterminate. And they're like, guys, being invisible doesn't work if you keep shouting. They'll know where you are.
That is the cliffhanger, invisible Dalek. We are now into episode 2, which I've called Tutorial on Bravery, but Terry Nation called it Mission Survival. Whose title's better?
I like yours better this time.
Not last time?
No, I liked yours better last time too, since it has something to actually do with the episode.
If he actually changed it to Spyridon.
Yeah.
That still wouldn't be that great.
I just like the idea that like Terry Nation spent a lot of time coming up with these titles and someone was like, oh, those are good. No one told you, did they?
But we come back and they've like spray painted the entire Dalek.
They're standing in front of this Dalek and it's just entirely spray painted black. And I like the idea that he was like, wait a minute, I missed a spot. Let me shuffle around to the back here and.
Yeah, because like they would have had to go all the way around. I get why they didn't, because it's hard to show like a hollow.
Like a half there Dalek. They weren't ready for those sorts of graphics.
They had that one shot that they could do it, but like after that, it's like, no, you gotta see the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the Dalek is not active, because they've been working on this invisibility. They can only make it work temporarily, and then it's sort of like, they stop working.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. And they're like, well, let's open it up. And the doctor's like, no, that will alert the Daleks, because it'll set off a distress call. They're like, then we won't open the Dalek. But we'll do it way later in the serial when it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Jo is not doing very well. Her hand has gone numb and she covers it with a jacket.
God, you know what else? First of all, is that a different jacket?
I think so. Or maybe the Thals found it and brought it back to her. And they're like, just clean this. Stop leaving your dirty laundry on the planet.
I like the fact that one, she just sort of covers it up. Like, and now it's gone. Because like it... Unless it's cold, and I don't think that it is.
She can't feel it. It's numb.
It's numb. Yeah, I just feel like she only covered it up like, ugh, gross. I don't want to see that. So at least she has more sense than the Thals.
Who don't cover up anything, like dead bodies.
I'm saying, she found a jacket. They didn't have a jacket? I'm really not pleased by this. Anyway.
They have more important things to worry about. Anyway.
One of the things I like about this scene is that she's still narrating everything into the tape recorder. I don't know, it's kind of sad to just hear her be like trying to be very calm, like, I've become infected. I can no longer feel my heart. And just like narrating it like, this is fine.
So the Thals and the Doctor are like cruising around, mm-hmm. and they hide out because the Daleks are coming to pick up that invisible Dalek that didn't work. And we get a setup for another thing that doesn't really go anywhere. It seems like there was Terry Nation was setting up a different plot that, than what actually happened.
Why?
There's this other plant. They're eye plants, is what they're called. They have these little eyeball sticky out things.
That goes somewhere.
Kind of. But, like, that would have been great, like, if they if you use the invisible Daleks thing, and then, like, they have to use the eye plants to sort of figure out.
Explain what the eye plants do.
The eye plants can see invisible things, and then they follow them with their, like, eye stalk.
Yeah. They've got, like, a weird ball in the middle, and they move back and forth. It's actually a neatish bit of design.
It's a neat idea, and it could have been utilized in a better finale, I feel like.
That's maybe true. I mean, it does get utilized insofar as the native life forms, the ones who are invisible.
Spyrodians.
When they show up, the eyeball things move, and they're like, that's Spyrodians.
Yeah, but barely, and I feel like they forgot that they had them.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, first off, there was a rather pointless distraction where one of the Thals, I believe Vaber, could be wrong, gets wrapped up in some tentacles.
This is a bad planet, and we should not have come here.
And they cut it off, and then he's fine.
Anyway, here's some drama.
And they're not any of the creatures we've previously established, or come back at all.
Nope.
But then the eye plants move, so they hide. One of the Thals is like, I'm gonna run out as a distraction so you guys can get away. And he runs out, and he gets attacked by the invisible creature. And it's...
It's so good, you guys. It's so good.
It's hilarious.
He's, like, throwing his arm behind his back. He's really trying his best. He's really doing his best to sell this bit of just him pretending like an invisible man is beating him up. He's like, throwing his head back and, you know, shouting and stuff. It's very cheesy. I love it dearly. I don't know. It's just one of those moments where you're like, God, I'm so glad I watched Classic Who.
He gets taken out by a like a log, right?
Yeah.
Like he's fighting, and then you see like a log lift up by itself and then smash on top of the Thal. But this distraction did work, and the Doctor and the Thals get back to the ship. Not the TARDIS, the ship that with the dead pilot inside.
Who's presumably just slumped up against the floor now, since Joe pushed him out of the chair, and nobody seems to give a shit about him.
Well, things are about to get worse for this pilot. Before they can get into the ship, the Daleks arrive. So they hide, the Thals and the Doctor hide. And the Daleks are like, we have to blow this ship up because we hate it.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's spot on.
And the Doctor runs out and goes, don't do it. And they shoot him. And
which is like... pretty rough. He's having a rough day.
They temporarily paralyze his legs, which is what happened in the Dalek serial to Ian.
Is it just his legs?
Yeah. I think he gets up and he's like, oh, my legs are all wobbly. Oh.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man.
I believe you because you just gifted it and it's been...
Actually, I haven't gifted it yet, but I remember it.
All right.
He's like walking and wincing like, ah, my legs, they feel so wobbly. But they explode the ship. They explode the ship out of that shit.
Yeah.
Which is... bad, because presumably Joe's still aboard.
Joe's on that ship.
The dead pilot for sure is, and now he is toast. Now you don't have to worry about it.
I'm...
disposed of.
That man did not have a good time. No respect in death.
But nobody cares. Nobody's like, oh, that pilot, we didn't get him home to his family.
I mean, like, presumably at this point, too, a lot of Thals have died. Like, they came in with, like, 7 of them, and they've got, like, 3 of them left.
They're not very good at surviving.
No. Well, to be fair, it's a hell planet.
That's true. It has tentacles.
It spits pus at you.
You literally can't see what's coming.
Because
there's invisible creatures. The Doctor is brought to a cell where the other Thal, the one who created the distraction and got bonked on the noggin for it, he is also in the cell.
And they're reunited, and they're buddies.
They are. The Doctor thanks him for the distraction and everything, and...
they have a nice chat, because yeah. We've had a slew of getting nice little character chatsy chats in cells.
And he has this whole thing, like, he's, like, talking about how he's a coward and really, really down on himself because he was a scientist, not an adventurer.
Yeah, he was not... he's, like, the leader of the group, but...
No, he's not the leader.
Yeah.
No, this is a different Thal.
This is a different... Literally, when the episode started, I was like, nope. Because I can't... I'm not so much with the faces, and so I normally use things like haircuts, or like how tall the person is. And the thing about the Thals is that they're all supposed to look very similar. They all have like the same hair. They all are shaped the same. I'm done for.
Because, okay, so there's Weber and Taryn.
Yeah.
This guy is the third guy who just showed up. I'm going to call him Higgins. I don't remember his name.
I thought the leader was like the doctor, and now he's the leader.
Yeah, but this is a scientist. Okay. This is a different guy.
Okay. Again, they're Thals, and they all look the same to me.
Wow, racist. but no, yeah, he's like really down on himself, and the doctor's just like, no, you're really brave. Explains to him what bravery is and how he is brave.
He gives, you know, that line about how bravery is being scared and doing what you have to do anyway.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh man, thanks. I feel better.
And he's like, well, now that we're done with this tutorial on bravery, which is where my episode title comes from.
Yeah, nice. I see.
He's like, let's escape. Let's get out of here. So he starts emptying his pockets, just pulling out random stuff.
I thought that was going to be more of a bit, and I was a little disappointed. Because the doctor's like, okay, we're going to get out of here. And he's like, okay, how? And he's like, what do you got in your pockets? And so the two of them both start going through his pockets. And I was like, this is a man whose pockets are bigger on the inside. And I think if this was a 2 cereal, this would have been a joke.
There would be a snack in there.
Yeah, he'd just be like, here's some sandwiches, pulling random ass shit. It's like, I don't even know what that is. Huh. Kind of thing. Where really he just pulls like a handkerchief and a couple things out of his sonic screwdriver, a couple other things. And
Joe's cassette tape. Where did he get that? Oh, wait, there was a bit where Joe, like, walked outside and then went back into the ship. And I think maybe he found it on the ground. Yeah, maybe it was explained and I missed it, but...
Yeah, if it was explained, I definitely missed it. And I certainly don't remember it now.
But it is how he's going to start constructing a...
I never understood that. Like, how many times did the doctor, like, get put in a cell and he has his sonic screwdriver and it gets out? Does no one check the man's pockets? Is no one like, hey, we have you prisoner. Give me any, like, super neat gadgets you might have to help you escape.
When he went to the lunar colony...
They
took his stuff away, yeah. And they put him in those sweet blue scrubs.
Time. He looked pretty good in those scrubs. I'm just saying.
Anyway, we find out, Joe's not dead.
There was a moment, you guys, where we were sitting there, we were watching, and I was like, we weren't sure what happened to Joe. If she was, you know, like, alive or dead. And I was like, aren't we coming up on Sarah Jane real quick? Joe's making fun of me, like, she's not dead. We know, like, she survived. She's the companion. And then I was like, I think she's only got a couple episodes left. This could be her last episode.
I don't think there's honestly a lot of companions that die, yeah, though. Or at least that die and stay dead.
Adric dies.
I think that might, Katarina.
Katarina dies.
I don't think there's much more than that.
Anyway. I was genuinely concerned because I was, like, doing math in my head, like, this might be her last one. You don't know.
But she's fine.
She's fine.
The invisible man took her away and put a mud mask on her hand.
And she starts to feel better. And she's like, thanks, invisible man. And he's like, no problem.
Although what's his name? Wester? Something like that?
The whole time I was like, I'm over here. You're not looking at my face.
Well, you just see the floating bowl that he's, like, mixing the mud up in. And there's a bit later on, I don't remember where it is, but she's like, she eventually reconnects with the doctor, and she's like, and I spent this whole time talking to this bowl?
There is also a part, so, like, he's represented by this bowl, right? He's mixed this medicine up in this bowl, and he's waving it around while he's talking for a little while. And then presumably his hand gets tired, and he's replaced with a still image of a bowl hovering in the air.
And then, like, the last moving. 2 seconds of that shot, the, like, leaves behind him rustle a little.
But the bowl's still not moving.
That's going to be a gif.
Basically, this guy explains that the Daleks showed up. They did their evil shit.
They want the invisibility from the Spyrodians.
The Spyrodians are all enslaved by the Daleks. There's a few of them that are fighting back, but not many. You know, like your standard Dalek invasion sort of deal.
So there you go.
Yeah. I think we cut back to the Thals, and like another ship has just crashed.
Well, before the ship crashes, they go to this stockpile of explosives. Weber's like, let's fucking take out these Daleks. And like, Taryn's like, no, we need to think about this.
3 bombs, so like maybe we should plan a little more that we like know that they're going to work before we just waste them.
And Vapor's like, fuck it, and pulls a gun out on Taryn. But then the ship crashes, sort of interrupting all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It interrupts, and then, like, out of the wreckage comes a female character.
Ah. A female Thal.
Yeah.
But, like, this is sort of the beginning of the antagonistic nature between Vapor and Taryn. He's sort of like, I'll let that slide. That you pulled a fucking gun on me.
You would not brush that off.
No, I'd be like, we need to have a talk about this. At least. Not just, don't do it again. Moving on.
Today at work, I was like, someone and me, we're going to have some words. I imagine that'd be you.
Yeah. Especially if someone pulled a gun on me.
Where he was like, no hard feelings. And you're like, we're going to have some words. We're going to have some
feelings.
Some words and some feelings. Okay?
Oh, also, the doctor is working with a thing and he's like, oh, I know what I need to do to this recorder.
I need to reverse the polarity.
Because that's what you always do?
Do you know how to do anything else?
No, he does not. And that's a cure-all. That's like the vinegar of the Doctor Who universe.
Just reverse the polarity.
It's like apple cider vinegar.
That's what moms on Gallifrey say. Oh, you have a cold? Just reverse the polarity. They'll take care of that right quick. Just reverse the polarity.
You're feeling depressed. Just reverse the polarity. But yes, the female Thal arrives and is like, things are bad. And then he's like, yeah, but there's only like 12 or so Daleks, right? And she's like, no, haven't you heard? There's 10,000 Daleks on this planet.
Y'all, that's too many Daleks.
That is the cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 2. 10,000 Daleks. We are now into episode 3, which I have called the Ice Volcano.
That's pretty good.
And Terry Nation called it Pursued.
I don't hate it.
The ice volcano is way cooler.
That's true. I want to know more about the ice volcano.
You want to know more about it?
In fucking fury. Okay, sorry.
We'll get there. It's not a good... you're like, oh, that's an interesting concept. And then you get to it and you're like, wait, no.
This is bad. This was a bad call. We should not have done it. This is a hell planet and we should not have come here.
But yes, more Thals show up. We got a lot of Thals now. We got like 8 or so. Meanwhile, Joe and the Invisible Man are watching the Dalek entrance, and there's all these blue furry people carting in stuff, and we find out that
they're purple.
You think they're purple?
Yeah.
They're bluish purple.
I want that.
Those are the other invisible people, and they wear that so you can see them.
To keep warm, but yes, also warm. So that you can see them. But it looks really nice. It looks really warm. It's like this big, fuzzy throw, and I want one, especially right now. It's starting to get cold here. Also, it would be like the best cosplay or like the best Halloween costume when you're like out in the cold and you're just like, I'm so toasty.
I'm a Spyrodian.
I'm a Spyrodian and I'm so toasty.
Let's get to it, shall we? The Thals get to the volcano.
Okay, we're gonna talk about it.
There is ice that doesn't get hard. It's molten ice. It's a gooey, white substance. Guys, it's cum. It's basically cum.
It looks like cum.
It's disgusting, but they're going to crawl through
people
People
keep putting their hands in it. Like, oh yeah, that's definitely gross. I'm like, thanks!
Oh, it's so cold. There's like a pool of it, I think. But
it just looks bad.
It looks like cum. I don't know how else to sugarcoat this. It looks like a big pool of smoking semen.
All right. Okay. I think they get it. They get that picture.
Just jizz, guys.
They understand.
Freezing cold.
You're trying to think of mango. Something else, and it's okay. Not necessary. Please never say mango again ever in my entire fucking life.
Rivers of jism. Okay.
God damn. I remember there was a point in, I can't remember what the serial is now, but it's a second Doctor serial where that like weird snake camera comes out and attacks the Doctor. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the Dominators, yes.
In the Dominators. I remember doing that episode and I remember Chris Cherry saying, that's like the 20th phallic prop that there is on Doctor Who. And I was like, okay, how many more props do they have that are more phallic than that? And guys, he was right.
You say, okay, but that's not exactly phallic. It's like post-phallic.
I'm just saying that At one point, I was naive about just how phallic things could get, and I am no longer so naive.
Gotcha.
Post-phallic. Gross.
That might happen.
But yeah, they're going to crawl through the shaft of the volcano. The ice shafts.
Stop.
That's what they say. What?
I knew how you were saying it. You were like, the shaft. That's how you said it.
That's how they're going to get into the Dalek base. Meanwhile, Joe has crawled into one of the baskets that are being shoved into the Dalek base. Her invisible man guy throws on his blanket and pushes Joe in. So that's how she gets in. But while the Thals are crawling through the ice shafts, there is an eruption?
Stop! No. No more!
Literally! It's inside a volcano! You're the one making these connections. And they're like, they're trying to get away before they get covered in this molten ice goo. Mango. Look, you're like mad at me, but that's what happens in the episode.
Do you have to be so descriptive about it?
Yes. Meanwhile, the Dalek has come for the Doctor and the brave Thal. They attack the Dalek. They best it. Throw it into a wall or something. I don't
know. Mud on the shoe.
They use the record, the thing they made with the recorded cassette tape, and it like messes with his.
It disorients him.
And he just sort of, bleh. And the doctor is like, he just goes, bleh.
Bleh.
And the doctor says that he enjoyed that.
A vampire Dalek? Bleh.
The doctor says he doesn't like violence, but he enjoyed that. Joe gets pushed into this room in this basket and gets out of the basket right in front of a Dalek that does not see her.
No, but Daleks are really bad at seeing people. I wonder if, like prisoner acquisition or whatever has, like, a lot of really boring paperwork. The Daleks are like, somebody else will say they saw him. I'm not filling out that paperwork tonight.
I think it's that there's nobody, literally nobody inside that Dalek. It's just in a corner. And they're like, oh, well, shit. But the Doctor and the Thal are spied as they're like trying to escape, and they get caught. But they don't get caught, but they get seen, which puts all the Daleks on high alert. Then there's like shenanigans with the elevator where they keep like they get in the elevator and they open up and there's Daleks and they're like trying to get to different floors and there's Daleks on every there's
you
Daleks
know,
all the way down.
We've seen this scene before.
I will say at least now the Daleks have doors on the elevator, but the Thals are crawling up through this one ice shaft. They find a vent that leads into the Dalek base, and they're just like crawling as quickly to it as they can because it's coming. The volcano is coming. They see the Doctor through the vent, and the Doctor's helping him get out. But there's Daleks coming. It's very intense. And then one of the Thals gets covered in
ice. It's ice. It's molten ice.
Molten?
Molten. It's... Shut up. It's molten ice.
Sure it is. So, one of the... I don't remember if he dies, but I think he dies. This Thal is Death by Bukkake.
Why can't you just stop?
Why can't this show think before it films? And then there's another, they get out, and they're running away, and then another Thal gets exterminated. That Thal had the map to the explosives, which one Dalek's sole job is to carry around on his
sucker, little plunger.
Which we, the Thals and the Doctor go into this one room that has a giant fridge in it to keep things cool.
I can't figure out why, though, seeing as how there's all this molten ice around.
And there's also this giant, like, hole, this giant shaft to the surface of the Earth. Like, there's, like, the base of it is inside this room. It's like a big air vent thing. So there's that one Dalek that has the map, and he's, like, just carrying it around, and it looks just like something somebody drew. And I was like, I'm going to put it on our giant fridge! The Daleks are getting in, so they're like, there's no way out. And they're like, we're going to float out. I'm going to make a giant hot air balloon thing that we're going to float up this shaft with. And they're like, will that work? And the Doctor's like, yeah, doesn't hurt to try. But he also opens up one of these, this like little window door thing. It is a cabinet full of thousands of Daleks.
There's too many Daleks, y'all.
Fun fact, those were literally toys. Commercially available Dalek toys.
And they just went and bought a bunch?
Yep.
Because it was cheaper than, like, making models?
Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's basically what. They're frozen. They're put on ice. Till they are needed. But they start to float up, but they're too heavy. Like, they're holding on to the thing, and they're like, it won't lift up, we're too heavy. And that is the cliffhanger. That was the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I've called The Plain of Stones, or The Thousand-Year Fridge, or, as Terry Nation called it, Escape or Die.
Ooh, that's a very dramatic one from Terry Nation.
Plain of Stones isn't bad, I don't think. It sounds Doctor Who-ish.
It does, that's true.
But it turns out they're not too heavy after all and start to float up.
And then I kind of thought somebody was going to get left behind.
Right?
That sounds going to be like, I'll get off, you guys go.
I will sacrifice myself. But no, that doesn't happen. The doctor is just like, oh wait, I'm holding this giant 10-pound brick, drops it, and they lift up. No, that doesn't even happen.
No,
they just float up, and the Daleks come in and are like, the fuck did they go? Where are they? They're nowhere in here. We don't know how to look up. But then one of them does look up, and they're like, oh, they're up there. But
yes.
They have literally miles to float up, and they're not going that fast.
It's a slow crawl to the top of the shaft.
What? Okay, so there's multiple Daleks on this planet. Surely some are at the surface. Why don't they just go, hey, Dalek 387, you know, you up there on the surface? Go drop some rocks on these fuckers. Why didn't that happen? Or just take an elevator, which is surely quicker than this floaty contraption.
Don't they send some people up?
Yeah, I think so.
But they don't get there.
They're like, we'll get to the surface before they can get there via elevator, though that makes no sense. Because they're like, do. It's not like an elevator's fast. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Some of the Daleks on the surface are going to the explosives, the ones with the map, and Joe has secretly followed them. Despite having infiltrated the base, she leaves the base to follow the Daleks. The explosives, they're like, there's these explosives. We're just going to set them off, prime them, and then leave. They'll explode, and they'll be out of the way. Then Joe goes and unprimes them, but then a rock hits Joe before she's done with the last one.
Yes.
And she passes out.
And that's the cliffhanger.
No, that's not the cliffhanger.
It'd be a good one, though.
It would be a good one. I sometimes feel like these cliffhangers get shifted. Because sometimes there's better stuff in the middle that I'd be like, that's a good cliffhanger. And then they end on like, oh, we're too heavy. But the Daleks are like, we got to find a way to get up there faster because the elevators are out of order. So they put this anti-gravity disc under the shaft and they put a Dalek on top of it. And he just starts floating up to them. I don't know why that's quicker than an elevator, but apparently it is. But then Joe wakes up and takes the explosives. But one of them does go off, but for some reason it blows up the Daleks. The ones who set them to go off, they did not... What?
They didn't get far enough away.
Why not? What is wrong with these Daleks and not understanding how long it takes to get places? It's really bad. But hey, some Daleks exploded, so... But the Doctor and the Thals are almost to the top of the shaft, and the rope breaks.
Oh, no.
One of the ropes. And so they all jump to the sides, which has some, like, ladder handholds, luckily.
It's just ladders all the way up at the top for some reason.
And
yet the doctor does not use them.
Not well.
there's steps all the way up the side of it. And everyone else gets out, but, like, the doctor's still in there. And they pull him out with a rope. And I was like, dude, there's, like, 8 footholds right there. Come on now. Pull your own weight.
He's the doctor. He's too fancy for that. But yeah, that's what happens. And the Daleks catching up to him, but they drop some rocks on him. There's some conveniently large rocks right next to the shaft hole. And they shove those rocks into the shaft hole.
Stop!
And stop the Dalek from coming out. And it crushes the Dalek. And then that's when the doctor and Joe reunite.
Reunited.
And Joe just starts rambling and blah, 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 blah. And the doctor's like, whoa, calm down.
She's just telling him, oh, man, I thought you were dead. And then I got this plant stuff on my hand. And then I talked to a bull and he fixed the stuff on my hand. And anyway, I met some Thals and they were going to come help you. And then, oh, she's cute. I love her. She's cute. I love her. She's so cute.
And then a dumb thing happens. The leader of the Thals, Taryn, is kind of upset that the lady Thal is part of the team now, because he loves her and doesn't want her to be on the team because it makes him worried about her.
He throws a big man hissy fit.
He's like, I'll be too worried about you, and that'll cloud my judgment, and we'll lose.
And she's like, oh.
And it'll be all your fault. He's literally
he's
says
like,
that.
Yeah, if anyone dies, that's on you. And she was like, oh, I never thought of it like that. If I had thought of it like that, I guess I wouldn't have come. I'm so sorry. Don't apologize.
He's an idiot.
He's being an idiot. You're fine. You do your job, okay? And if he can't do your job while you're there, then he couldn't do his job anyway. So
you tell him.
I will.
Then we found out that the Daleks are like, well, we have this disease that we're just going to let loose on all of them. So then we get rid of them. And they don't do this for like 3 episodes. They're like preparing it.
They're
preparing
trying
it.
To make themselves immune, I think. I don't think they're immune yet. And so they like have the immunity stuff. But they gotta distribute it to, like, the boys. The Dalek boys.
But this gets set up now and takes forever to pay off. We're just like, release the damn shit already. But yeah, then this is when the Doctor is like, he's like filling in Joe on what happened. He's like, I sent a message to the Time Lords to have the TARDIS follow the Daleks. So that's why I called the Time Lords, even though there was no real point in that. Sorry to get your hopes up, expecting some Time Lords. We didn't do that. There's a lot of setup for things that don't pay off. The Doctor is like, you know what, Joe? Stop talking to me for a second and go talk to the Lady Thal because she's sad. Go comfort her. And it's kind of cute.
It is cute.
And while she's doing that, the Doctor talks to the leader basically to do the same thing. Like check in and make sure everybody's doing okay.
Just make sure everybody's good. Everybody's in a good situation.
And then all the other Thals show up and then plans start getting made. And they're like, let's go to the Plain of Stones to like recoup, figure out what we're doing and rest. Talks about this whole thing about how the stones absorb heat and then shoot off sparks when they get full. And it's really cool.
I remember none of this.
Well, it doesn't happen. The Plain of Stones is where they go, though, when they like sort of like rest and hang out. And that's where there's a bit later where they're surrounded by creatures that we don't see. There's a lot of like promise of things that doesn't happen. And then Joe meets one of the Thals that basically becomes her kind of love interest. And she describes handshakes to him. Which that also happened in the Daleks. Barbara explained handshakes, I think, to one of the Thals before they climbed into the caves. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Terry Nation repeats himself. So they get to the Plain of Stones. A giant bird flies overhead that we don't see. And they're like, we've never seen one of those before. And again, goes nowhere.
What?
Yeah.
I have zero memory of this happening. I swear to you, you're making shit up right now.
No, they get there and they're like, huh! And then you hear, rawr! And like, there's a giant shadow that goes over them. But we don't see it. And they're like, I've never seen one of I've heard them before, but I've never actually seen one. And we don't either.
Are you sure that's a thing?
That is a thing that happened.
No memory of this. Okay.
They're out in this, like, open area.
And it's just...
That's it. It's just like, this planet has shit on it, you guys.
Alright, okay.
Lots of animals and stuff. So, but they come up with this plan, the Thals do, not the Doctor, that they're going to destroy that big fridge, and that'll destroy the Daleks. And Weber's like, well, let's do it right now. And Taryn's like, no, let's plan it out, let's make sure we do this properly. And Weber's like, no, and they fight. They start punching each other and shit, and then they have to, like, get pulled apart. And he's like, just obey orders. Do what I say. And they're like, all right, fine. So right now, though, we're going to go to sleep because it's bedtime.
Because we still have a lot of time to fill.
And they go to sleep, and when they wake up, Weber is gone. And he's taken the bombs because he's just like, fuck all y'all who don't want to do stuff. I'm going to go do stuff.
He's the brash young kid.
So Taryn's like, I got to go after him. So he goes after him, takes another Thal, leaves behind the Lady Thal so she'll be safe. The Doctors and Joe stays behind as well. And that's when they notice that they're surrounded by eyes, glowing eyes.
How did you feel about this effect?
Not good.
No, you didn't care for it.
No, I thought it was dumb. It's like we need some sort of threat. Just, it was eyes. And
I kind of liked it.
And then Weber is on his way to blow up the fridge and gets attacked by some of the purple fur people, the Spyrodians. And that is the end of episode 4. I don't even remember that cliffhanger. It's so boring. So that was in episode 4. We're now into episode 5, which I've called The Jizz Pools.
Come on! Come on! Come on! God damn it.
Come in the jizz pools? Come on in to the jizz pools.
The jizz is fine. No, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Can't abide this nonsense, this foolishness, any longer.
Just relax in the jizz pools. Okay, here's Terry Nation's title. The Day Before Eternity.
That's 1,000 times better than the jizz
pools. What the fuck does it mean, though?
Doesn't matter. It's 1,000 times better than yours.
Than the jizz pools?
This episode starts.
Is it would be better if it was the Mangu pools?
This episode starts. And with... You don't know her name. You just have female fall in the notes.
Well, they didn't say her name as often as they said the other people. You want me to look it up?
Yeah, I do. That's rude as fuck.
Well, do you know her name?
I don't remember anybody's name, though. Smurfette Fall.
Rebecca. Like Rebecca, but without the A. Rebecca. We're back. Rebecca.
Oh.
Taryn sees Weber get attacked. Then we go back to the Plain of Stones. Rebecca shoots a warning shot at the eyes, and they briefly disappear, but then they come back. And
the lights basically kind of flicker.
And they're like, we're low on charges for their bullet guns.
Their guns, by the way, look like laser tag guns in that they are, like, strapped to them, which I thought was kind of useful.
You don't want to lose your gun.
Yeah. It's just always, like...
There. But then Taryn attacks the fur people and then wears their fur.
Yeah, they do the standard, you know, knock out a guard, take their clothes sort of deal so they can sneak in.
Mm.
Only they're not guards, they're slaves.
And not necessarily bad guys.
No.
Rude. Back at the Plain of Stones, the doctor has a torch and is waving it at the eyes. Back! Back! Then they start running out of fire, because they have ran out of charges for their laser guns. So they're just running out of ways to keep back these animals that have never been a problem.
Before.
They don't even know that they're a problem now. They're just a bunch of eyes.
They aren't getting any closer to them. Maybe they're just checking them out, seeing what's happening, seeing what the happy haps is.
So one of the other Thals is like, comes up to the Thal in the fur and is like, hey, what's going on? Taps him on the shoulder. And he picked the wrong guy and gets attacked. But Taryn saves him. And then they both have furs now. Now they both wear the clothes.
Now they both get the sneaky sneak in.
The invisible guy that saved Joe, his name is Wester. He shows up at the Plain of Stones and tells them about the virus bomb that the Daleks are planning on sending off. So, thanks. And Weber gets brought to the Daleks. They're like, tell us where the other Thals are. And he's like, all right, I'll tell you. But then he runs. And then gets shot. And then I think he's dead. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
But like, there is a bit where you think he's going to betray them. Which is a real dick move. But he doesn't. But the Thals, who are, you know, under the purple robes, take the explosives and run. Then the Daleks are giving the antidote to the other Daleks, which is just a flashing light hanging from the ceiling.
They're inoculating all of the other Daleks.
Then the Thals return to the camp with the explosives. They have some sort of plan. They come up with some sort of plan. I don't remember what it is. I was getting a little bored. And they split up and go off to do the things that they're going to do. Do you remember those things?
Wait, at what point is this?
Don't know. Moving on! They're going to do... I think they're still going
to
do...
Has the doctor told them it's a bad idea to blow up the fridge yet?
I don't... No, I think so.
Because, like, at some point, they're like, oh, he went to go blow up the fridge, and the doctor's like, that's the worst thing you could do.
Because that will unfreeze them, and then they'll take over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that probably happens now. So they're going to go there and do something else, which I don't remember what it is. And this is where we get the doctor sticking his hand in one of those pools of cum. Because they get to the thing, and they're just, I think they're basically just going to start slowly taking out the few Daleks that are not. Oh, I know what they're going to do. They're going to do the same thing they did in the Daleks. They're basically getting the Daleks to come towards them. And then they get two different Daleks. They're fighting these Daleks. They wrestle with them and shove them into the cum pool. The jizz pool, right?
No.
They do. That's what happens.
All right, but you have to talk about it like that?
Yes. But it's so cold that they go into shock and die. Well, they go into shock. At this point, they do open them up because they're like, the circuits are fried, so it probably won't send out a distress call. I don't know. Maybe they don't care about that anymore. And they take out the Daleks and I guess dump them into the ice pool, if that's what you want me to call
it. Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Just dunk them into the semen. And they pull them out of the water. The doctor puts on one of the furs. One of the Thals hides inside the Dalek.
Yep.
Which is what Ian did in the Daleks.
Are you mad about it?
A little bit. Because the exact same thing happens, too. We'll talk about it when we get there. They're going to infiltrate the base, which is what they do. But meanwhile, the Wester sort of sneaks into the head Dalek's room with a virus.
You think it'd be harder to, like, oppress a bunch of invisible people.
You'd think.
Like, you think it'd be easier for them to, like, have a revolution, seeing as how they're invisible. Maybe they just really didn't want to take off their coats, though, and that was their downfall.
It's possible. Those are some really cool-looking coats. But he gets in there, the door shut behind him, so it's the two main Daleks, like, lead Daleks and Wester. And Wester opens the virus up and dies, like, immediately. And they're like, oh shit, we can't open the door because that'll get the virus out and kill all of our Daleks who have not been antidoted. So, we're trapped. Also, when Wester dies, he appears for some reason. He's like this, like, craggly lizard looking dude.
I think maybe they were told, like, you have enough money for one makeup. And they were like, okay, we'll make this count.
The Dalek starts freaking out because they're trapped. Well, the Thals in their furs start to leave to do whatever. And one of the Daleks sees a boot, a shoe, and is like, what? They're not invisible. They got a shoe. And rats them out. And that is the end of episode 5. The cliffhanger was a Dalek saw a shoe.
Not the greatest cliffhanger in the world, no.
So now, that was in episode 5, we're now into episode 6, the last episode, which I've called Freeze, Daleks! Or as Terry Nation called it, Victory.
I don't know which of them I hate most.
You don't like Victory? Kind of spoils it, doesn't it?
Spoilers, guys. The Doctor wins this one.
That Dalek's like, I saw a shoe! So they throw the fur over the Dalek and run away.
And that's how you resolve that cliffhanger.
And then they're pulling along the one Dalek that has the Thal in it. And then they, like, drop it off at, like, one hallway, and the Daleks shoot, and the Dalek case explodes. And you're like, oh no! That Thal is dead. And like at this point, I was like, I don't even know which Thal's in it, which it was Rebecca. Then that shows them running down a hallway and Rebecca is there. And he's like, it's a good thing you got out of that Dalek, huh? Which is exactly what happened in the Daleks. You think Ian explodes, but no, Ian got out of the Dalek in time.
Oh, man.
That was actually a better scene, too.
Yeah. Do you remember what a good time it was with Ian and the Dalek? That was such a good time. That was such a good scene. God, I miss Chesterton. He's a good character. Oh, man. Do you remember? Do you remember how great that was? Oh, man.
Yeah. So the Doctor and the Thals go to that Dalek closet with all the toys in it. And then, meanwhile, Joe and the Thal that has the hots for see a ship land, which has the Dalek Supreme in it. And Joe's like, hey, maybe you can take that ship.
Back home.
And they've all basically been like, this is sort of like a suicide mission, which doesn't actually mesh. They're like, he's like, we came here knowing we would die, but which does not mesh with what the scientist said at the beginning of this serial, which is like, I was not prepared for any of this. I was just a scientist.
That's true.
But she's like, well, now you have, you know, hope that you can get out. And he's like, no, that will just cloud their judgment.
It'll just make us sloppy because we want to stay alive. And what we need to be is ready to die. Which is, spoilers, not how you survive something. I mean, I guess they're not worried about survival so much as they are, like, fucking up the Dalek shit. But, you know.
But then he's like, well, I never really had anything to live for. But now I do because I totally like you, Joe.
I have something to live for because I've known you for 5 whole seconds and I have the hots for you. I mean, they've known each other for longer. A substantial-ish amount of time has passed. A day?
A day. A day.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Doctor has a plan. Whatever his plan A is will not work, which he's going to do something with the fridge, but it won't work for he's locked out or something. I don't remember. But then the Dalek Supreme arrives and is like, let's unfreeze
the Daleks.
Every time
you say Dalek Supreme, by the way.
You want tacos?
God, yes! That's exactly what I was gonna say! It sounds like something I'd order at Taco Bell.
I think Taco Bell's open late.
I'll take one Dalek Supreme, please.
If we wrap this up, we can totally head to Taco Bell.
We can
Bell.
Go to Taco Bell and get some Dalek Supremes.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's finish this.
Dalek Supreme.
Do they still have the Frito Burritos?
I don't know. Do you like those?
I ate the shit out of those. Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. I want some tacos. And I don't even really, like, care for tacos. Actually, I do. They're good. It took me a while to realize it. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Dalek Supremes and how tasty they are.
Does that come with sour cream?
No, that's what makes it supreme.
Yeah, okay. They should make, like, Dalek tacos. Dalek Supreme. They literally should. Just, like, it looks like a Dalek and you just eat it like a taco.
How does it look like a Dalek?
You can make that work. It'd be like a burrito, I guess.
You know, Taco Bell would probably do it. They do any fucking thing.
Let's talk about Doctor Who for a second. So, the Dalek Supreme shows up, says, unfreeze them Daleks.
They go,
but also gets like a...
Aren't they all still like dying of...
Two of them are.
Two of them are dying.
They're just trapped in that room.
Okay, okay.
One of the Daleks sort of like fills him in on what's been going on. And the Supreme Dalek's like, you have failed us, and straight up kills that Dalek.
Does that shock you?
It's a little dumb. You need numbers. Well, I guess you got thousands.
I always think that in, like, stories where, like, it's like, oh, this guy is so ruthless, he just kills his henchmen left and right. And it's like, sir, that is not a good way to get the best henchmen.
It's not a good way to get loyalty either, I feel like.
No.
Loyalty through fear? No. Don't do that. You get them to love you.
Yeah, we could be much better villains than get most villains.
To be dependent on you. Yeah. Not scared of
not
you.
Not scared of you.
That's dumb. Make them think that what they're doing is good.
And if you kill too many of them, then you have to start doing things yourself.
If you learn anything from our podcast, I hope it's this. How to effectively be an evil villain.
Trick them into loving you. Much easier.
That's what I'd do. So, Joe and the Thal climb down a vent shaft. It's that big one, right? It's the one that they floated up.
Yes.
Which, if there's a way to climb down, there's certainly a way to climb up. Why did they have to float up? I think the doctor just wanted to do that.
He just was like, this is going to be neat. This will be a hoot.
So, but everybody basically teams back up at the bottom. The doctor, the Thals, and Joe. The Daleks are trying to get in. They've set up a barricade, and the Daleks are trying to get through it to the doctor and the Thals. The doctor has this plan of, I'm going to dig through the volcano wall. Also, that's another thing. The Dalek base in the Daleks was, like, weirdly connected to cave systems. Like, they had to go through the caves to get there.
Oh,
this
yeah.
one's connected to a volcano.
Yeah, like, maybe they should stop building their bases where the ground's so porous.
So, but the doctor's digging through this wall, and he's basically like, we're gonna flood them. We're gonna put in the explosive, set it off. It'll cause the ice flow, jizz flow, to destroy all the Daleks. So that's what they're doing.
There's a terrible scene, too, where they're, like, crawling through it. They're, like, crawling through the ice volcano. And then, like, to build tension, the, like, molten ice is, like, slushing, you know, like, slowly getting closer and closer. And I was like, no, don't do this. I don't want to see this. I don't need this in my life. Please don't make me live like this.
It's a very unfortunate effect.
Yeah. But they do. They make me live like this.
They're going to dig through this wall and do this. But as they're doing it, the Daleks, the thousands of Daleks in there, are starting to wake up. They're like very like very woozy.
Yeah.
They're just sort of like shuffling awake, and one of them knocks over the explosive into the pit of Daleks, and the doctor has to like crawl in there with them to get the explosive out.
I hated it. So I guess they're all still like slowly waking up. That was why he yeah. didn't die. This was legitimately nerve-wracking for me. I was like, get out. I don't like it.
But
he does. He gets out.
But the timing mechanism on it is now broke.
So they don't know.
Well, the one of the Thals is going to have to try to fix it. And they send off some other Thals to be like, hey, find us an exit. So they find an exit. And then I think they use up one of the bombs on the Daleks coming in.
Yeah, just to kill them.
Keep them from coming through. But they do come through. But the bomb gets fixed, so the doctor puts it in, and the Daleks are headed towards them. They run off and they start the countdown, which there's always a countdown, but this time it goes off early.
Do you think Terry Nation was like, there's a countdown. It starts at 80, and we see it all the way down from 80. And someone else was like, okay, or it starts at 80, and it goes off too early, and it's like, what? And he was like, really, you should see the whole countdown. Do you think that happened?
Oh, most assuredly.
It's just like him trying to convince him, like, how else do you know it happened unless you see the whole countdown?
So the doctor's like, oh no, it's failed. The Daleks are awake. But then they start getting flooded. And he's like, oh, never mind. Let's go.
We still solved it. Okay, bye. Looks like we're out of time. So
all of the Daleks get smashed with this flood of
molten ice.
Jism. It makes its way to the trapped Daleks in the room, too.
So, like, the whole biological thing, not important. Doesn't really do much.
Because then they just open the doors and, like, abandoning, abandoning, and they run out. I guess the virus must get out on that planet, killing everyone on it. But the Doctor and the Thals get to that Dalek ship. They're going to leave on it. And the Doctor's like, be sure when you get back home. He's talking to Taryn.
This is a really good monologue that he has. I enjoy it a lot.
He's like, be sure when you get back home, make sure to not make this mission sound glamorous. Don't make war sound cool.
Because that's something that we know about the Thals, is that they've been a peaceful people for a real long time.
They head out, and then that one Thal that has the hots for Joe is like, hey.
I love this scene. Adore this scene. I want to talk about it. I know you're going to talk about it. I want to talk about it.
Well, he's just like, hey, you want to come to Skaro? And Joe goes,
Nah,
I like Earth.
Like, she's like, I kind of got my own thing going. I've only really known you a day, so I want to go back home. And he's like, oh, okay.
Cool.
I'm a little sad about it, but whatever. And I was like, thank you. Thank you.
He didn't make a fuss or anything. It was great.
I was going to say, I feel weird about saying this, that I feel like it's kind of an answer to Susan. You know, Susan left on her own accord and was very happy, and that was the choice she made.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It was! I don't care for how the Doctor did it. I know a lot of people don't have a problem with it. Mostly I'm pissed that he left her. He took her shoe. She's on a different planet with one shoe.
Joe.
Anyway, yeah, it seems like, if not an answer to that, like a counterpoint, sort of like somebody who just went, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. And the guy respected that and left and waved. And was like, some guys should learn from this.
It becomes really apparent, too, in the next scene that, like, Jo just wants to go home. She's had it up to here with adventure, I think. And I think that's going to be leading into her final episode.
Because, yeah, the Daleks come after them and they run back to the TARDIS. Past the spitting plants.
They hate them.
And take off as the Daleks start shooting at them.
Well, the Daleks are all dead.
No, there's those two Daleks that are immune. And they're like, we are delayed but not defeated. They literally say delayed but not defeated.
Do they?
They do.
That's amazing.
But yeah, then the Doctor's like, where do you want to go, Joe? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And she's just like, home, please?
Because, yeah, that's right. The Daleks aren't dead. They're just frozen. And it'll take a really, that's the thing that said. Like, it'll take a really long time for them to, like, thaw out.
Yeah. Well, we are delayed but not defeated. But Joe wants to go home. And that is the end of the serial.
It's a really cute scene, though, because, like, the Doctor's like, where do you want to go? We could go anywhere. And she's like, what about that planet?
The doctor pulls up Earth.
Yeah, and the Doctor's like, that's just Earth. She's like, yeah, I know. And he's like, okay, let's take you home. Let's go home, buddy. I don't know. I like it. It's a good scene.
It's cute. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for our final thoughts.
The Terminus Doctor Who podcast brings you passionate geekery that's often effusive, sometimes loquacious, but always full of love for the world of Doctor Who. Armed with a queer woman's perspective, you can look forward to the show covering both the new and classic series, as well as other forays into the so-called Hooniverse. So please check out the Terminus podcast for your dorky dose of deep discussion. All, of course, brought to you with a fun side, because as the Fourth Doctor once said, there's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes. So head on over to terminus.libsyn.com to find the podcast. The Terminus Doctor Who podcast.
And we're back!
Final thoughts!
Alright, here's the thing. I know the Daleks are like a classic Doctor Who villain in like every sense of the word. They're like the big one. They're the one, for some reason, like after they first came out, they stuck with people more than the show even. I'm frequently bored during Dalek episodes. And it's not like a fault of the Daleks. Like, I love them. I loved seeing them on screen. I don't always love hearing them talk to each other. I think that's something that, like, as time goes on, you see less and less. I think if there's Daleks and they need to be talking a lot, then, like, Davros is there. Or they don't talk a lot and they just kill things. Yeah, I don't know. This wasn't a bad serial. It's
watchable.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, there are a lot of parts in here. A lot of interesting parts, a lot of not so interesting parts. It didn't ever sort of resolve into anything cohesive. Like, things just sort of happen. Yeah, it's not my favorite. I'm trying to think of specific things to call out in that I liked them. I had good character moments here and there. The Doctor has that really nice speech about bravery. He has that really nice speech about war and making sure it doesn't look cool when they go back. Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you look at this in the last serial as like it's a two-parter, kind of. This is a disappointing follow-up to what was a really kind of a fun serial for something where it's mostly just the Doctor and Joe in a different prison cells.
Yeah.
But, and they had the Master, who's fun. The Daleks aren't necessarily fun. And it doesn't help that a lot of this serial is sort of repeating moments we've done before. And also, it feels like a lot of setup for no payoff. Like, you have this whole invisibility thread that goes nowhere. This whole virus thread that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff just thrown in. Like, I don't know, he gets attacked by tentacles. I don't know, they're surrounded by eyes. Like, it feels meandering and pointless. Actually, it's kind of a lot like the Daleks episode in which, you know, they sort of go through that, like, all those mutations things to get to the Dalek thing, even though they didn't really have to. I don't know, it's just meandering. It's like throwing in a slither thing, Dalek pet. And I don't know, is that just Terry Nation? Maybe Terry Nation's not a great writer. I don't know. Like I said, it's watchable. It's not, it's not terrible. Serial.
And part of the problem, too, is that we've had like so just a string ones. Of really, really good serials. That like by the time you get an average one, you're like,
eh. I will say this is way better than the last Dalek serial. I mean, not counting Frontier in Space. The Day of the Dalek? I almost said The Remains of the Dalek. The Day of the Daleks?
The Remains of the Day of the Dalek. Is that a joke we made in that episode?
Yes, it is. That's why I said it. That's why it came to my mind instead of the actual title. But yeah, that serial was terrible. This one is at least watchable, and there's stuff to enjoy, like a still shot of a bowl floating in midair. Yeah. Or a guy fighting an invisible creature hilariously.
Not the best, not my favorite, but, a solid C. You did good.
Is it the worst of this season? Yes.
But to be fair, it's been a really strong season.
But that's it.
Yeah, we did an episode.
And if you like this episode, check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes, you guys. It's super helpful. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like uncut video of the podcast records, where you will see that we had, two major problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's other rewards, like day early episodes and live streams. We do live streams of us watching the episodes.
So you can watch the episodes with us. Unfortunately, we can't stream the episode because the BBC wouldn't like that.
We listen on headphones and then we go, we're going to start. 3, 2, 1, go. And
but
then we watch together.
It's been really fun to interact with people in the chat room. So like things will happen. And we have some really smart patrons, some really smart followers who always learn some interesting bit of trivia when we watch with you guys. And it's way more fun. Also, I feel like a little bit more prepared to do the episode because I'm like, oh man, look at this sweet piece of trivia that I know. And I don't know it. You guys have taught it to me. So it's been really, really fun to watch with you guys. And if you're interested in doing that, you should check it out.
We're also been giving away links to it.
It's the highest level that you have to donate to get the streaming links. But we run a contest every time, and that goes out to our patrons at every single level. And, if you interact with that post, we give out links to it. So even if you're a $1 patron, right now there's a really good chance that you could get a link to the live stream.
I'm trying to get people interested in it, see what it's like. So anything we can do to make this better, please let us know. We have our ask box is open on our website. And if you'd like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/watchathon. Also, on our support page at watchyourassline.com/support, there is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, again, special thanks to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And again, I want to give a special shout out to Elliot Cooper for becoming a Patreon patron.
As opposed to any other kind of patron. Thank you, Elliot.
You are the tops of the best.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how high up you are. You can follow him on Tumblr at docwithtardisfez.tumblr.com. And tune in next time when we talk about The Green Death, which is the season finale.
Anything like The Green Bulge?
We don't talk about The Green Bulge. Never again. Never again. But that's it. Bye, you guys.
Goodbye. I love you. You especially.
Keep calm and wrestle on.
Doctor, wait till you hear what happened to me. It was and then I got rescued by this bulge.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.